Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome everyone as usual. This is August Crenshaw, your talk show host on Advocate Radio Show. Always glad to be back with you. I just want to make a couple announcements before I go any further today. Number one, I'm excited to say that within a week or two, we're actually going to have a special guest on the show. Last week when we were having our conversation, I brought up a young lady's testimony, and I give you guys a lot of my testimony. However, I think it's important for you to hear from some other people as well, and she can give you more intimate details about some challenges and the progress that she went through when it came to making a bold step to move according to the will of God. So I also just want to open up the door to say, you know, some of you out there, you have some fabulous testimonies. You've been through some things. You've learned some things. If you're interested in being on the show, reach out to me at my email address, augustcrenshaw@yahoo.com. That's augustcrenshaw. Would definitely like to hear from you. So beyond just reaching out to me to ask to speak about certain topics, how about we all get together and we have some time and get on the radio with one another and let people hear how God is moving, you know, in somebody else's life, just, you know, beyond mine, and let you tell your own story. In addition to that, unfortunately, still having a couple issues with the chat room coming up on the internet. So for people that want to call in, if you happen to be listening via your iPad or any type of internet device, when you get ready to ask a question, just know that you can call in at 347-838-9366. I'll give you that call-in number again. It is 347-838-9366. So that's the call-in number. Now, I also want to give an announcement in regards to what we spoke about last week. I wanted to share in the progress. We won't talk about what's going on with me in this move every week, but I believe because such a strong declaration was put out about faith and believing and walking in step with God and declaring and decreeing with your mouth, that my listeners deserve to know what happened. And I remember talking about the 72-hour thing. For those of you that don't know what the 72-hour thing is, I encourage you to go back and listen to last week. Remember, all of the messages are archived, and you can go back and listen to any of them at your leisure. But there was a declaration put out there that within 72 hours that we wanted to have an offer on the table. And I gave a testimony about this awesome family that came by. It looked like they were going to be the one, and that there was an unofficial offer on the table. Now, the date for the open house was on that Saturday, so you do the 72 hours, then it would have been Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. I just want you guys to know that last week while we were on the air together at 9 a.m., my realtor received an email from someone else who put an offer out on the table, and this was nothing but God for this individual to put an offer out on the table, and who was thoroughly prepared. Someone that could pay their own closing costs, their own down payment, and a couple of other miscellaneous fees. And bottom line is there was a little bit of going back and forth in regards to the price of the home, but we did come to a resolution. And within that 72-hour time frame, yes, people, there is an official offer on the table, and we are expected to close within, like, the next 40 days. So for those of you that have been walking with me, believing God with me, thank you, and we'll just see what continues to go on. I know some of you may be wondering what's going to happen to the radio show, but I also just want to assure you as well that this will continue to go forward even though we're moving out of state. So as a kid, is going to continue to be here, and as a matter of fact, because we've already got a footing in St. Louis and we're on the internet and we have a presence in other places, I'm just praying to God that when we move, it'll just be an even bigger opportunity to set a seed somewhere else. So, what are we going to talk about today? Well, there's this one scripture. You know me, I always call them classic scriptures if they're ones that I've heard said more than 10 times in 1 month in a church. That's, you know, kind of what I mean when I say that. If you've been to church at least 3 times in your life, you've probably heard these scriptures. And one of them is, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all of these things should be added unto you. And I think it's important for us to really delve into what in the world does that truly mean? Because I've done quite a few episodes. Come on, we've talked about sin, forgiveness. We've talked about marriages. We've talked about parenting. There have been a lot of topics that have been thrown on the table. But, you know, one of the things that I emphasize is the necessity to operate in balance. And balance does not mean according to what our finite minds can interpret. It doesn't mean if I quote 5 scriptures about sin, then I need to, you know, 5 scriptures about mercy. You know, I don't mean that kind of balance. I just mean that when you become a Christian and you begin to understand the Word of God, you got to be careful, because you can find yourself leaning to one direction too much, and you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to be the one to talk to you so that you understand how to get ministered to or how to minister to other people. We've talked about that in terms of drinking and things of that nature. So, but one of the things that has come across the table quite a bit have been conversations about success, financial success, pursuing dreams, business, and things of that nature. And so some people might say, okay, even though I don't fit the mold, to a degree, somebody might say I almost am beginning to sound like a prosperity preacher, because I talk a lot about success and moving forward. Nothing could be further from the truth. I believe that my repertoire of topics is big enough to keep me out of that category. But still, you know what I mean. Some people, they may just be, they're lucky. Every time they listen, I'm talking about success and moving forward. So earlier this morning, I was in Luke chapter 12. Actually, I was in there in Luke chapter 12 late last night at about 10:30, but it was for something completely different. But I got back into it again this morning. And this is just like the chapter in Matthew where it talks about don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, and how God takes care of the lilies of the field. So here it is. This scripture is out here, and what ends up happening, I think, in the Christian community, is when we're not careful, we do become unbalanced, and we begin to kind of sway one way too much. It is absolutely true. I know from experience that when you seek God's kingdom first, all those things are added unto you. However, that doesn't mean that you stop there and you live a life of complacency, because, yes, God doesn't care about money. What was that in the book of Haggai when they were rebuilding the temple? He told them, hey, the gold and the silver and all that stuff is mine, but the glory, you know, the victory, the glory, that's what belongs to me. So that doesn't mean that we shouldn't have money and we shouldn't do things with them. So we don't want to get so caught up on seeking the kingdom that we also are not goal-oriented. And I say that because just like the Bible talks about how where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also, the Bible does also teach a lot about stewardship. The Bible does talk a lot about having yourself in a position to be able to help others. It talks about the need to be in a steady state of preparation. And not just preparation in terms of when the Lord is coming, but just preparation in order to be able to serve. I mean, you can't serve and you can't do anything for somebody if you don't have anything. And that's not just spiritually. I mean, how do you emotionally get somebody else in line if you're all jacked up, just as well as how do you financially provide for somebody if you're all jacked, if you don't have anything to bring to the table? So I want to make sure that we keep Luke chapter 12 in context, because honestly what most people do is say, yeah, that scripture right there is saying, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you don't need to be tripping off of things. All you need to do is love the Lord. You love the Lord, you're going to get all of those things. Well, let's take that and say yes, and let's also add to that, because here's the point that I want to make. And think about this and soak it in. You typically find Christian people worried about those things. Now, they may not be in a frenzy and on antidepressants on it, but you are constantly going to work. You're working anywhere from 10 to 24 hours a day. You are constantly having to check your books, look at your money, pay your bills, get things in order. You know, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul. You can't grocery shop the way you want to. You have to always look at whether or not it is or isn't your time to buy yourself a pair of shoes or, you know, should you wait? And I'm saying this because I've been this person, so please, you all already know I'm never talking about you. I'm always talking about me. And at the end of the day, what the word is saying is that those things, they should not even matter because those are the given. So it is a given that you're going to have shelter. It is a given that you will have clothing. It is a given that you will have nourishment because that just comes with the territory for what God is going to do for you. So if anything, if you're seeking to do something, it should be above and beyond mere clothes, mere food, mere drink, mere shelter. Because I'm going to tell you something I decided a minute ago. I decided that I was going to stop saying, man, I wish that I had enough money so that when I see, like, this situation, I had a girlfriend who ended up having to get out of a really bad marriage and she needed some help. And I was able to help her. Other people were able to help her. But it didn't feel good not having an abundance of things so that I couldn't just sit there and say, okay, well, you know what? I know the Lord will provide for me in this area so I can afford to give her this, as opposed to me being able to say, you know what? Hey, girl, what do you need? Without even having to worry about or think about anything. You know, but it's always, unfortunately, I mean, just really think about this. It's always the saints that are wishing that we could do more. So what have the people in the secular world figured out that we haven't figured out? Because at the end of the day, we may not like the way some of them live. We may not like the way that they act. We may not like the roles that they play, the music that they listen to. But they have a much easier time being philanthropic than we do when it comes to assisting. And to be honest with you, everybody that's out there, and they're not necessarily secular either. There are some people in the kingdom. What have they done and what do they understand that some of us don't understand that all we could do is always wish what we could do for people? Well, I would say is that because you are so busy worried about the small things that you don't even, and you're so busy worried about the small things and you're so paranoid about your relationship with God that you can't worry about the big things. See, yes, you are in constant, I don't want to say this way. You should not be in constant pursuit of the kingdom of heaven. You accept Christ as your personal Savior. You allow the Holy Spirit to indwell in you and operate in you, and the kingdom of heaven should be growing and expanding in you. You know, it's one of, you don't find God like 17 times. He's here. He's here, he's in us, and he can operate through us. And when you look at what he has the capacity to do in us, we should be expanding. So if you are moving in what God has given you to do, maybe, for instance, since people like to be sin conscious so much, maybe you're not a very patient person. If you open up your mind to serve and to do for people, you don't have to keep on beating yourself upside the head and saying, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this because I'm not patient with people. I don't know how to deal with people. No, what you do is you take the nasty plunge and you have to grin and you have to bear it and you have to say, okay, this is going to be really hard serving in this environment. Lord, prepare me before you even go into that position or that place. And then when you thought that you would snap, allow him to be the one to fill your heart with compassion. You have to step outside of your comfort zone and begin to serve. And what's happening is the kingdom of God is growing in you regardless. There are people that have done things like that, and then those are the same people who own these organizations where they are financially thriving and they're doing big things and taking steps into the community. because they were faithful over the small things, because they were willing to step outside of their comfort zone. And so the kingdom of God existed in them. And they're letting that thing that's in heaven come down and exude through them right here on earth. And God continues to build them and increase them, and they grow. So while he's growing them in their ministry, he's also growing them in the other attributes of their life. See, the Word of God says that whatever you do, literally whatever you do, that you're supposed to do it is unto the Lord. So whether you sleeping, you eating, you drinking, you dancing, you singing, you operating a company, the way you're raising your kids, everything you're doing is unto the Lord. So what we have to stop doing in the Christian community is making it look like, unless I'm doing something that is labeled Christian specific, then I'm not seeking the kingdom of heaven first. That if I'm pursuing a dream or a goal, then I'm more concerned about things than I am about God, and I need to be more concerned about God because these things will be added unto me. No, there is a specific way that you're supposed to work in order for things to get accomplished. And when you don't step into that, then you don't get to see God in his full glory do what it is that he's going to do in your life. Because if you read Luke chapter 12, even though it's more so talking about the coming of God, Jesus still, on a regular basis, he uses a lot of parables that have to do with labor, management, work, etc. And I believe that Jesus is wise enough to understand that he's going to give us parables that are relatable to the things that we have to do here on earth. Because you don't just say work doesn't matter, effort doesn't matter, because the Bible does also say to him that don't work, he ain't going to eat. You understand what I'm saying? So don't just say seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and get off balance, because you do have to work in order to be able to eat. So when you read a parable later on, when you go down to chapter 12 in Luke, there, matter of fact, I'm going to read it. If you go to Luke chapter 12, and we'll start at verse 42, Jesus is answering a question that that Peter asked him. And it's starting at verse 42 in Luke chapter 12, it says, and the Lord said, who then is faithful, and who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find doing so. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and should begin to beat the manservant and maiden, and to eat and to drink and be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in that day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, cut him in asunder, and will appoint his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required, and to whom men have committed much of them, they will ask more. Now, honestly, so my Bible scholars don't get mad at me and think that I'm being unbalanced and I'm not saying spiritual. Yeah, overall, Jesus is always talking about being prepared for his second coming. He's talking about, like, with the virgins. He's talking about how you know man knoweth the day and the hour, and how we need to be on our A game at all times, and we need to be prepared. But still, Jesus was not only spiritual, Jesus was very practical. He had to have practical conversations on a regular basis. He didn't always just speak this spiritual talk. Matter of fact, let me go on a segue really, really quick. Church folk, let me tell you something. If you want to be able to minister to people, then you're going to have to pipe down sometimes, and you're going to have to understand that you don't need to sound like the King James Version if you want to reach people. Not just because everybody don't want to hear the King James Version, but because God is the author of words. As long as what you're saying means the same thing as what the word is saying, the word thus, thou, and so, and Jesus Christ, Lord, is, and this, it, and that, it, and so, it does not need to come out of your mouth every 5 minutes to prove that what you're saying is that of God. Because let me explain to you why, for somebody that may not like what I'm saying. Because the word of God also says that not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. See, it's not your lip service that proves that God is dwelling in you. It's in your action. And to kind of give you an example, I have a Christian friend in my life who owes me some money. And I hadn't heard from them in a minute. And this situation should have been resolved a couple months ago. I remember reaching out to this individual and just saying, hey, you know, I'm trying to see what's going on. And I received a text message that was as long as an essay. Well, when the Lord says the same, that is when I'm going to give it to you. I'm not like people who haven't paid you in the past. And, you know, as I was in my prayer with the Lord, this is what the Lord said to me. And remember, I said this is what I plan to do. But if the Lord should allow, then I will move according to what the Lord says. And believe me, you will get paid your money. Now, my thing is I didn't waste my time responding to that because it did literally get up under my skin. The Lord doesn't have to tell you to give me the money that we agreed to because the Lord already spoke it to you when we negotiated at the beginning of the table and we said that this is what the thing would be. What you needed, because the Lord said so, I gave it to you. And what you were required to give to me, the Lord would have opened the door for you to give it. And see, now my thing is that I know that this person is very, very, very much saved. I know that this person very, very, very much loves the Lord. However, we all have areas and room for improvement and growth. If I wanted to waste my time, I would tell this woman, hey, you need to just stop being so overly spiritual and praying all the time, asking God when he's going to do something. Because see, the way that I know that God can move, when you're intentional about doing something, he will be even more so intentional about operating through you to get that thing done. But because you operate out of fear, because you don't operate in certain areas that I know about what's going on in this individual's life, this is why what you're supposed to be doing is stagnant. But because I'm not in dire need, but to see, this was a professional conversation. It was just a practical conversation because we're getting ready to move. And, of course, I would like closure on as many things as possible. Before I go, I'm just trying to have a regular conversation, people. And that's what Jesus did. Sometimes he gave these parables. He talked to people. And Peter and the disciples would all the time say to him, what do you mean? And sometimes he did get frustrated because he did think that spiritually that maybe he should have got it. But a lot of times, all Jesus did was just say, well, let me explain this to you. See, the parable with the sower is this, and the seed was the word of God. And then he breaks it down, and he gave it to him in layman terms. So back to this particular scripture, let's take it and let's break it down into layman terms. There are managerial responsibilities that we have while we are here on earth. I don't know what those managerial responsibilities look like. But, church, we have got to get out of the position where we are always waiting for God to move, for God to do something, for God to make it happen. And then you can say, see, God opened the door, and I'm going to walk through it. God closed the door, and I'm not going to walk through it. For those of you that tuned in last week, come on, we drilled this thing. The word says that faith is the substance into things hoped for. And according to the Greek, not the Webster, the Greek lexicon, the definition of substance is that which has actual existence. See, the promise of God is in your future. It isn't existing physically, actually now. But your actions to pursue that thing, to walk by faith, to trust God, and to go toward it is what you do have. And so there are actual things that we are supposed to be doing right now. So whether it's a business that God has given you, whether it's a ministry that God has given you, it's a way that you are supposed to operate with individuals in your family, and the list can go on and on and on. There are things that you could and you should be doing right now with the expectation that God is going to bless it. You are supposed to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Come on, my classic scriptures. So you need to step into your managerial role. And I'm saying what I'm saying today because I believe that the people in the church, we need to be challenged. See, that scripture in, what was it, about verse 48 said that those that know to do better and don't do better, you're going to get beat bad. But those of you who didn't know but you still mess up, you're going to get beat as bad, but you're still going to get beat. See, ignorance is no defense to the law. We can't be comfortable in this walk. We should constantly be in pursuit of things to help us improve. And if you can't find it specifically through the scripture, then you get you a mentor or somebody to connect with you that has expertise in a certain area. You don't know what it takes to get your business going, then you go read a book. You go sit up under somebody who's actually done what it is that you're trying to do. You know that you're supposed to be operating your own ministry or starting a church, then you know what? Even if it takes you 5 years with only three people, if that's all God gives you, then do that. Because you don't know the day or the hour in which the Lord is coming when he will bless you in due season. So he will bless you in due season, and then all of a sudden, your three members turns into 300 members. And that's what God has for you. What if it becomes a revolving three? And after those three gone and they grow, maybe you end up grooming other people to do what you did, and they develop better ministries than you do. You know, as far as number size, not necessarily quality. The quality may be equivalent or even a little better because you want people to continue to grow and be better than you. Don't misconstrue my words. But the bottom line is if you don't get out there and get uncomfortable and do what it is that God has for you, then what's going to happen? See, the Bible says don't fret over evil doers. You know, they seem to prosper. But I did pick up on something else in 46 when it says that with God, when the Lord comes back to look at his servant, it said it'll be at a time when he isn't aware, and he will appoint his portion with the unbelievers. See, church folks, we don't like to see the unbelievers prospering and having things that we believe that we should have and progressing in areas that we believe that we should progress. But I'm here to say I believe we give our stuff away. And at the end of the day, Sally Sue Betty and her five kids or brother so-and-so that lost his job, they still need help. And you can be mad all you want to because Tim Daddy C over here doing such and such and so-and-so is the one that's coming to their aid and giving them help, and they looking like a God, but you didn't get yourself in position to let them see the true God in which that thing is coming from. We have to dream bigger, believe stronger, and pursue more. There is more to this life than just saying, I'm saved and I know that God is alive because I got food on my plate. That shouldn't even matter to you because that's a given. If I hear one more person testify about how they happy that the Lord paid their bills and they gas didn't could get cut off, so what? Why are you testifying about a given? People, let's step it up and let's have some testimonies above and beyond that. So, yeah, somebody might say, okay, August, you're still on the things. There are other things that we could be doing. And we need to lay hands on the sick. We need to cast out demons. Look, we're not talking about that today. So those of you that know me and you know me well, I understand that that's a part of ministry too. But you know what? There are scriptures in the Bible and Proverbs and James and throughout the rest of the book that talks about if a brother comes to you with a need, don't be overly spiritual. Don't tell them how you'll pray for them and come back tomorrow. What you do is if it is within you, that you help that person today, that you supply a need. Because I remember one pastor said it one day, how am I sitting here and keep on telling that you need Jesus? You can't hear me if your stomach is growling because you need a sandwich. But, oh, I can't give you a sandwich because I'm too busy trying to work 50 million hours to get enough money to buy my own bologna and bread and make myself a sandwich. Something's wrong with that picture. We got to start working smarter, not harder, with more wisdom and get ourselves in position so that God really can open the windows of heaven. We want to see God move, and we want to see God do phenomenal things, but will we do the phenomenal things that our forefathers in the past did? Will we walk away from the things that we love that make us comfortable? Will we go to places that we are afraid to venture to? Or will we just sit in places because, you know what, it's easier this way? It's so much harder. God has sit here and blessed you with all this knowledge up under your belt, but because you ain't never did it before and you don't want to make no mistake, you won't take a challenge. But this world exists off a bunch of millionaires and people that are affluent in this world that you don't even know about because they took a challenge. They didn't sit here and say, I got all my ducks in a row and I know exactly what to do. Look, I know the word of God says take a vision, write it down, and make it plain. But the vision is not the bullet point. So God may sit here and say to you, for instance, and I'll use myself for an example. God said, hit the ground running. Open up your business. I've given you this gift, established, created. So here it is. I'm establishing the business. I'm moving forward. And sometimes I see huge spikes of success. Sometimes I see minimal spikes of success. Sometimes I've been wondering, like, Lord, where is the success? Look, I've never done this before. Every step I take, I run into somebody else who gives me a little bit of information to give me feedback. The Holy Spirit ministers to me and leads me to a website that says do this or it says do that. My husband and I are in agreement that we believe the Lord will want us to move to another state, and when we get there, that it's also going to provide an opportunity for the business to flourish in a way that it's never been done. If I overanalyze the scripture to take the vision and write it down and make it plain, you know what I will end up doing to myself? I will end up putting myself into a position where I'll never get anything done until I cross every T and dot every I. But how can I cross every T and dot every I for something that I've never done? You think that Abraham knew what he was doing? He didn't. Hebrews 11 told you that he didn't. He said he received the reward because he stepped out on faith and he didn't know where he was going, not because he had a master plan. Esther did not know whether or not the king was going to kill her. All she knew was that the lives of her entire family, the whole lineage of her life was on the table. She just had to go. With Ruth and Naomi, Ruth knew nothing other than the fact that Naomi served God, but she went not knowing what the outcome would be. It was supposed to be better where they were going. Because you got to remember, Naomi left where it was a famine in the land to be where Ruth was, but Ruth ended up going back where Naomi was going because of where God was. Who's to say that God was better if God was supposed to be where you was at in the first place? Why did you even have to leave? People, you don't always get to know every detail. Matter of fact, when you read further in that scripture, it says that the promise of God will tarry, but it will come. So run and wait. Saints, we got to start running and waiting. Can you visualize that? Running and waiting in order to get to what it is that God has for you. So the running part is when you're anxious. Not the anxious, be anxious for nothing, and, you know, not that, and pray for God, and wait for him. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the excitement in your spirit. So I'm taking steps, and I'm moving with the business. I'm taking the next deep plunge, and, you know, I got my little website. You know, years down the line, I'm going to say it was Ricky Dink, but right now I'm proud of it because it's all that I got. And I'm in pursuit, and I'm going. So when you run your race, you're aggressive, you're enduring, you're persisting. But while you're waiting, you know that as you're going, the things that you need to know will be revealed as you go. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to read it. You can make a mental note. But if you go to Habakkuk chapter 2, it says chapter 2 and 2, it says, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak. And not lie, though it tarry, wait for it, because it surely, it will come. It will not tarry. What in the world? So, you know, my thing is, as Christians, it's not safe to sit here and say, you know, the Lord going to do something, and you just sit and wait for it to happen. Now, are there some times where he may say, go somewhere and just sit? Yeah, I don't want to seem like he never says that. But when God reveals something to you, you get up and you go and you begin to pursue. You do that which you can do, and he'll do what you can't do. And if you take a step and you do this, then he'll reveal that. See, you want God to reveal the bullet point plan for you of where you should go and the success that you should be achieving, but you haven't even done step 1 through 2. You are not worthy to even know step 7, 8, 9, and 10. because you act like a punk when it's time to deal with steps 1 through 3. Come on now, people. Let's get out here and let's start running. See, when people think about it, don't sit on it. Don't walk on it. Run on it. I mean, think about it. When you sit down on something, what you doing? You're thinking about it. You kind of laid back. If it's going to happen, it's cool. And when you walk on something, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, I can see that. Let me know. Okay, let me grab that right quick. But when you run to something, I mean, for the parents, picking your kid running to you. When you run to something, you're excited. When you run to something, you know. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not going to run to anything only for me to finish running because I hate running, literally. Not the spiritual people, the literal running. I can't stand running. I ain't running unless I know I'm getting to something good, okay? When people run in the movie scenes, they know that the love is at the end of the beach. Rocky Balboa knew that when he ran, he was going to make it to the finish line and knock the person out of the ring because he trained hard. When you run, it's because you believe. When you run, it's because you know that there's something at the other end and you want to get it. When you sit down and when you walk on it, there's room for doubt. Go get your blessing. It's not going to lie. It's not going to wait. God's word said it, it won't return void. But if you keep on sitting, waiting for something to happen, nothing is going to happen. I don't know what the issue may be. I'm going to put something out there. People may not like this, but when I say that I'm transparent, I am very transparent. In all my years of going to church, I have finally went to a church with minimal collateral damage. There's no such thing as a church, let me put this out here first, where there will not be any damage at all, okay? There will always be some form of damage because people are in church. No, people like to say, well, you know the devil's in church. No, people are in church, okay? People are in church and people are flawed. People are going to hurt your feelings. They're going to be on the usher board, the deacon board. They're going to be the pastors, the ministers, the leads of the ministry. People are going to hurt you. And guess what? Because you hurt people, you fall in that category too. We all hurt people. For the first time in my life, I'm actually leaving a church without leaving the church because I need to sit down and tell the pastor how rinky-dink him and some of his members are. I have to talk about a problem that I got because of something that went wrong. But I can tell you this, there are some things that have happened or that have been said in the church that I attend that I don't agree with. And I haven't had a blow-by-blow, play-by-play with my pastor, but I did tell him, you know, there's some things you say I don't agree with, but at the end of the day, it ain't worth, you know, boxing over. You know, it's one of those things, you tomato, tomato. You say that, I don't, you know, I'm here. But one thing that I do know is that there's a time and a season for everything. And at the end of the day, even if I wasn't leaving to go to another state with my spouse, I would be having to sit down and tell the pastor that it's time for me to move forward. Not necessarily because, even though I don't always agree with everything that he's saying, that doesn't necessarily mean it is doctrinally wrong, and some of the things I think are, but like I said, it's nothing worth making a break, and you're never going to agree with anybody perfectly. But when I'm in the service, I don't feel the growth that I used to feel when I first got there. And I'm not going to sit there and say, okay, I need to observe everything that's going backwards so that I can feel good. As a matter of fact, I'll quote my father-in-law. And I'm just saying that for specifics for people that know me. They'd be like, oh, Archie, same now. Oh, no, I love my daddy. I'm talking about my father-in-law. One of the things he used to always say when he went to this one church when I was sitting up under him on the Sunday school, he used to always say, people in the FBI, they don't study counterfeit bills. They study the real thing, and they know it inside and out so that when a counterfeit comes across their way, they know it. So me and my husband and my family, we're in a place where the church that we're at, not to say this is a counterfeit, don't get the analogy, people. There's something missing in the essence of our need of growth. So we're not going to sit here and study the wrong way to do it for us. It's time for us to move forward so that we can get something different. Because everything isn't for everybody all the time. And if God is saying to move forward so that we can grow, then that means that we need to go to the next level, to the next teacher, to the next place. But God has definitely done something in our lives because now we're not leaving the church because we're bitter or because we're angry and we don't like what happened and we can't stand church folks. It's Yet our time and our season is up to move forward. We still have very much a lot of love and a lot of respect for not just the leaders, but for several people in the church that we've developed relationships with. But it's not feeding us the way that it used to feed us. Some of the things that are being ministered about are the things that we are already doing, already have done, or other individuals that we've already studied with. And I'm not talking about a week or 2 weeks ago. I'm talking about months and some of these things, you know, almost a year ago. So we have to be prepared to get up and move so that we can get to the next place. Some of you may not be able to understand how you need to be running because you're sitting in a place where your gifts are dormant. Where God has given you, it's not in a place where it's open to thrive. Where you're stunted in the Holy Spirit, the way that you're ministered to, is preventing it from coming up in you so that you can let your gifts out. That's not God. God wants us to continue to grow. And let's just say hypothetically it was a bad church. Maybe if people would stop staying in church because they're being loyal or because they're afraid to go somewhere else, because even at the end of the day, at least I know the jump that's all happened at this church, maybe if everybody left the church, then the crooked people would have to realize that what they were doing was not so effective, and maybe they'll fix their mess. But a lot of times, some of us just sit in churches like we the knight in shining armor, and if we sit there long enough, it's going to get better. I done lived in plenty of churches, and unfortunately, the state of them is worse than it was when I left. And you can't tell me that my staying there was going to make it any different. So bottom line is, evaluate your life. Look at where you're going. Look at who you're around. Look at who you're talking to. Because, see, if you're not being challenged, there's something wrong with that. The disciples were always challenged by God. If they weren't being challenged by God, they were being challenged by people. We cannot be complacent in our walk. Seeking the kingdom of God means seeking the fullness of life in everything that we do. And there are things that you can do in your businesses that you operate, in your family that you attend to, that in your ministries that you perform in, where you could be taking it to another level to show God in a degree that they've never seen it before, so that you can experience the blessings that God has never given you before, so that you can have such an overflow that you can give to other people. Honestly, church, most of us aren't really living out the scripture where he says that, you know, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. A lot of us, it happens to us sporadically. But there are several men and women of God, and you know what? That's just their way of life. Every time you turn around, they're getting so much they got to give it away. And I have had seasons in my life, so to speak, for lack of a better way to say it, where it's happened to me more often than not, where it wasn't just like every once in a while. And because I've seen God move and give and move and give and move and give, I know that he can be consistent and constant with it. It's just all about where your priorities are and what you're pursuing. Pursuing greatness is pursuing God. Remember the person with the talent? For those of you got to Google it if you don't know it. One person was given one talent, one was given five, one was given 10. You can make up any excuse in the book you want to sit on the talent that God gave you, but you go ahead and dig it up under the ground. You go ahead and hide it. You go ahead and don't operate in the fullness of what God has given you. And you make up every excuse that you want to. But just like with this scripture where it got stripped away and given to the unbeliever, what did God do with the talent? Jesus said that that man took the talent and gave it to somebody else. In this particular one, it was actually a servant, but still, it could be given to another person more worthy in the kingdom or somebody not worthy in the kingdom. The people that did right with their talents received double fold of whatever it was. In 1, 2, and 10, I believe. I think I said 1, 5, and 10. At the end of the day, who cares about the number? The point is the growth was there. Okay, so I don't know how you all feel. China was putting a lot out there. I am not perfect, but I am seeing the things that I'm saying manifest. When we begin to walk in accordance with the will of God and we trust him and chase after what he has put in us anyway, because he said he give us the desires of our heart, he would be the one that directs our path if we acknowledge him. Baby, there are bigger and better things out there than just knowing that you're making it every single day. If you want to step out of that zone and do it, I have a recommended reading. I don't usually recommend too many books or anything, because I do know that everything is in the Bible, but you know what? Sometimes you need it said to you differently. You know, for those of you that are listening, one of the best books that I've ever read in my life is somebody gave it to me back in 2006, and I've probably read it 3 or 4 times, and I promise you I need to go back and read it again. There's a book called The Dream Giver, and it's written by a man called Bruce Wilkinson, W-I-L-K-I-N-S-O-N, Bruce Wilkinson. If you go on the web, you literally can probably find this book for 99 cents or $2.99, because I don't know if you will or won't find it in a store. Matter of fact, I can give you a website. It's Alibris. I'll come back and repeat this message, this information. It's www.alibris.com. Order a couple of them. Do a book club. I don't know. Read it together so y'all can challenge each other. But this book is about people not being ordinary anymore. God does not want us to be ordinary. You want proof about whether or not he wants you to be ordinary? Then you go back and you read the story about the children, the Israelites, roaming in the wilderness. When they had the opportunity to seize the land, and the reports came back, and 10 spies said we can't do it, and 2 said that we could, God was pissed. Leah, you might not like my words, but God was pissed because the people believed the report of the 10 that said we cannot do it. To the degree he wanted to kill them. He wanted to take them out. Moses pleaded with him. He said, I know, I ain't going to kill them, but they ain't getting in. They going to roam the wilderness until they die out, and we'll give it to the next generation. All because they didn't want to step out of their comfort zone. They didn't want to challenge any giants. They didn't want to do anything bigger and better. God kept them under. He kept them together. He kept them with food on their eat. They had only food to eat. They had, their shoes never wore out. Their clothes were still fine. That was that's a realization of Matthew 6:33 right there. And I'm going to be honest with you, they wasn't even really seeking the kingdom of heaven. They were kind of just going a long way because they had crossed the Red Sea. It was a little harder to get back to Egypt than it was to stay where they was at. But he still provided for them. But he was upset when they would not pursue greatness. So, yeah, I'm saying if there's greatness in you and you are not in pursuit in it, you're making my daddy a little unhappy. Okay? Now, while he's a lot more merciful since Jesus been officially came on the scene and he ain't wiping you out, he ain't too happy with you. I felt him not be happy with me. I got beat up. And I'm talking about within the last year. Really? I gave you these gifts. I've been revealing to you day by day the artistic qualities I put in you, and you won't pursue this business? That's why I said, oh, Lord, 2014, like you said, when it comes, I'm hitting the ground running. I'm going to pursue what you gave me. And, people, I'm uncomfortable. I let go of a business. I don't bring the kind of money in that I used to. I'm going to go into a strange place where I don't know the hustles, the systems, and the, because, I mean, if I needed to, I got a degree, I could go get a job. I can, if I had to, I could go to a temporary agency. I could call all my clients back, and even though they would be pissed because I scared them for a second and they couldn't come to me, I got a gang going that would run right back into my arm. But that's not an option. So I'm not sitting here being a hypocrite telling you to challenge your life and challenge what you're doing, and I'm not challenging anything. I said, you know what, God, I'll be uncomfortable. Just for a season, because I'm getting to the land of milk and honey. And I don't care about the giant. I'm Goliath in it. I mean, I'm David and all my Goliaths. I'm going after him. I'm not stopping. He wants greatness. That's what David said. He said, what y'all doing sitting here? We serve God. Y'all don't let him install God like that? With Goliath was insulting him? David was more upset because they wasn't representing God. That's what we're not doing when we don't pursue our dreams and our goals. We don't represent God. So quit saying, oh, I'm just going to be complacent because God said he got me covered. Duh, he has you covered. He has your food, you eat, you drink, your clothes, your shelter. So stop being content with where you're at and pursue something greater. God has put all kind of gifts up in y'all. I don't know if you're rapping, if you're singing, if you're dancing, if you're drawing. You know, maybe you don't need to become a teacher. Maybe you need to open up your own music school. You know what I'm saying? There's something. And you may be able to attack inner city kids. And when people ask you how you able to do what you do, it's because you are a man or a woman of God. It's not supposed to be a traditional way in which we go forth with some of the things that we're going to do. Everybody ain't meant to open a church. And just because God told you that you got a church, you thinking it is supposed to be a church building. See, God already revealed to me that I'm supposed to minister to many. But I'm already beginning that platform in an unorthodox fashion. It doesn't have to be in a pulpit. What if I said, like some people, this is one of the things my pastor at the church said, he said, if people that are called to the ministry, one of the worst things that they do is that they go and they get trained to become ministers, and then everybody sits in that seat waiting to see whether or not they'll be the one when their current pastor dies or passes the mantle so that they can get up and preach. So you've waited all your life to become a minister for the church. I thank you, God, Mother Teresa didn't do that because we wouldn't have what was given through her over all throughout the world to help people that were in need. If you get out of the traditional standard, because at the end of the day, the church is in the body, some of these things that we're pursuing is the very essence of how we show people to be greater. God already showed me through my business how I can minister to women, women that have been beaten and abused and don't feel beautiful anymore. But how putting on something nice and then also putting on maybe this piece of jewelry or something, how it also ministers to you. How I can eventually open up a conglomerate of entities so that I can open up a door to bless another young lady. You know, me and my daughter, we can help someone else tap into a gift or a talent, show them how to be in business and how to pursue dreams. There are so many angles that this can go, so many ways that we can get back. And I'm here to say and declare and decree that all the way back here, so y'all can go back and listen to it 10 years from now and say, yes, she said it. Then we can give something to somebody else to help them acquire what we acquired. And you know what's going to happen in the long run? Yes, we will acquire in abundance. Press down, shake it together, run it over. What we've done unto men, it's going to be done right back unto our own old booty. And yes, because in this system that we live in, we need monetary things. Yes, God will also reward us with monetary value. No, we don't have to pray to God looking for cars and for houses. But yeah, you know what? God blesses with all of the above. He blesses with peace. He blesses good spouses. He blesses you with joy. But yeah, he does also bless you with abundance. Clothes, shoes, socks, whatever you need, God gives you. Yes, he even gives you things. And he gives you a way to keep them. So I'm going to stop because I'm starting to feel myself going my rant and my rage. All I hope is that today somebody got inspired to say I'm going to push just a little bit harder and it takes some steps of faith. I'm not saying that you don't listen to God, you don't get direction, but I am saying stop overanalyzing people. So let me give you the information again for the book before I forget. And then I'll be opening up the lines as usual. You push the button one if you want to make a question or a comment. But once again, the name of the book is called The Dream Giver. It is by Bruce Wilkinson. I promise you it will impact your life, and it's a short read. I pretty much guarantee you will find it from anywhere from 99 cents to $3.99 on a website called alabrus.com. www.albris.com. Let me make sure I said that right. www.albris.com. If y'all didn't get me, go back to the archives and revisit it, getting off the phone. So, The Dream Giver, Bruce Wilkinson. It is written as a everyday language parable in the first half of the book. And the second half of the book, for those of you that want to get deep spiritually, it gives the spiritual connections to the Bible. I pray to God that something has been said that has impacted your life. I don't see that we have any questions or any comments. Just moving forward, I want to say that I love you guys. I always thank you for listening in. As a reminder, for those of you that are going through some things, that you have some testimonies, I am not the only person out here with something to share. Please contact me. Get on the air. Let's share some of our stories together with other people. I'm absolutely open to having guests on the show. If you're interested, email me at my name, augustcrenshaw@yahoo.com. That's augustcrenshaw@yahoo.com. Otherwise, let me just pray it out. God, we thank you, Lord, and we love you. May we see those things that you have for us. May we honor you most heavenly and graciously, Father, by running towards the blessings that you have promised for us, but with the spirit of waiting for your timing to bring it to pass. May we not sit anymore waiting for something to happen and then stepping into it. Let us operate in the spirit of faith because we know and we believe the promises that you gave us. Give us the strength and the courage to conquer the giants, to beat our Goliaths, so that the world can begin to see the power and the glory that is given to you. You give us the victory. You get the glory. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. Can't wait to talk to you next week.